This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Rob Schaefer, joined today by my NBC Sports Chicago colleagues, Jason Goff and Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we answer mailbag questions from you, the listener. We break down how the Bulls' offensive pieces will fit together, best and worst case scenarios for the 2021-22 season, and with a few roster spots still left to fill, who's left out on the market that can help the Bulls primarily defensively.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
There we go. Hey, what's up, guys? You know, the always be recording rule kind of gets broken up with this new StreamYard situation that we got, because it's like a long, dramatic countdown. Like, for people who don't know, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, before the pod starts now, because we're using a different system, there's like a 30-second countdown where it's actually the numbers on the screen. So for me, I don't know about you, by the way, Rob Schaefer, Jason Goff, Tony Gill, Casey Johnson is on a much, much deserved vacation from our ridiculousness. And when I say our, I mean the fans, his coworkers, his kids, his family, the Chicago Bulls, the city of Chicago. Has just been
I think his kids and family are there, but
yeah, no, I'm saying, but you know, he might want to get away from them too every once in a while. I feel his pain on that. But
you're right.
The 30-second countdown, I don't know what it does for y'all, Tony and Rob, but like for me, this is the way my anxiety works. To me, it means, hey, knock this shit off and get ready to work. it means, hey, like, you know how you walk into a job, and I love this job, by the way. You know how you walk into a job, you had jobs before that you didn't really like or whatever, and you walk in, and, you know, you might be riding or vibing in the car, and the moment you pull up to that door, you're like, oh, all right, let me get my mind right to walk in here. I know all we're going to do here is talk about Bulls basketball and take Bulls mailbag questions. But every time I see that countdown, I think to myself, like, I'm pulling up to, you know, Frank's Nursery and Craft when I was 16 years old, getting ready to load Christmas trees onto some old lady station wagon for $3. So with that being said, this is the Bulls Talk Podcast brought to you by Coors Light. Like we mentioned, Casey Johnson is out. Loved Casey. You know, he's been churning out terrific, terrific content on NBCSportsChicago.com. So go back, read all of Casey's old stuff. Make sure that he feels your presence even when he is not out here being an ink-stained wretch. Rob, Tony, Rob came up with the great idea since, you know, let's be real about it. The pickings be a slim these days when it comes to Bulls content. So Rob threw out the idea in the group text that we should chop it up on the Bulls mailbag tip. So Rob threw out the tweet on Bulls Talk with all of us tagged in it. So we got all of every single one of your replies throughout the day. I want to thank Rob because I actually uninstalled the app today because of that.
I think I got to go 6 months without listing social media as a skill on any resume or any conversation that I have. Because I scheduled that tweet for what, like 10 a.m. or something like that. And at 10:06, I reopened Twitter just to like scroll Twitter. And I had like 65 notifications already. And I immediately went and apologized to you guys. I was like, I have no earthly idea why I thought it would be good.
Wait, hold on. You're gleaming the cube right now. And for anybody my age, they understand that reference. Obviously, the two guys that I'm working with have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But you said you scheduled a tweet?
Yeah,
teach me, young Jedi, the scheduling of tweets, because I'm old. I am the old. It's so amazing every time I do this pod with y'all. I realize how old I am, and I used to be the young guy like y'all. And man, I love seeing it. But if you are telling me I could schedule a tweet,
Yeah.
Gambling is about to get busy out here.
you ever use Twitter on your computer, Jason?
Very rarely.
Yeah, because it's weird, right? I don't think I ever did until it was my job to like be organized on Twitter and be like following these specific people and like see what's going on.
Like me. Exactly. I should be doing.
But no, if you open Twitter on your computer, there's like a little calendar option when you're about to tweet something and you can like schedule it for a certain time.
Oh.
Or you can go, there's a website called TweetDeck that helps you organize everything. Mm-hmm. You can schedule.
I'm aware of TweetDeck now.
So it's very easy to do it through TweetDeck. I'm sure you could probably just figure it out just by opening it.
Oh, okay. So then Rob's going to throw that sauce on me in there. Oh, it's just pretty much childproof. You can. All right. So we got a Bulls mailbag full of all of Rob's replies and mentions. Tony, you will be your life's narrator at this point. So oh my God. Isn't he? Isn't he young Morgan Freeman? Well, I don't want to say that, but everybody loves Tony Gill is what I'm reading on the chest of strangers.
Yeah.
As I'm walking
the chest of 10 strangers. Yeah. But not Tony Gill's, curiously enough. Did you get the shirt on the second drop, Tone?
I did end up getting the shirt on the second drop. Yeah. See, this is Kanye Drake kind of beef right here that I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for the two young dudes on this pod to go at it like that. If you didn't notice the jab just now, Rob just mentioned that Tony sold out shirt, sold 10 copies, and that's why it was sold out.
Hey, it's exclusive. It's an exclusive drop, like an NFT.
Yeah. So what Rob is saying is this one didn't come with a bundle, is what Rob is saying. Yeah, exactly. All right, go ahead, Tony. What we got from the Bulls mailbag from the people?
All right, our first question comes from the ever-present Bulls fan, C. Red Fred.
What up,
Fred? Which of the departing Bulls do you feel will find greater success elsewhere? As James Johnson, Cam Payne, Doug McDermott, Daniel Gafford, Bobby Portis, Tony Snell, and Kyle Korver did.
So, like, middling to championship success. Where are we starting here? Because success, I mean – It's relative, right? If a guy goes somewhere and wins a championship and doesn't have a starring role or a rotational role, it's different than if a guy has a breakout season on a lesser team.
I think both of those are success, like individual success and team success, because they didn't have either as a Bull.
Yeah. Because Daniel Gafford had success. You know, I won't say turned his career around, but I mean, when you go to that second team. You know, lights start to come on, right? You know, as D'Angelo Russell, you get traded inside of your rookie deal. Yeah, it's going to be some explaining to do, you know, in terms of your pedigree. So which one of the guys, Rob, would you say?
I think the easy answer is Lowry, if he indeed ends up being gone, just because if he ends up in a situation where he has a true playmaking point guard that can set the table for him offensively and get him moving and get him open for – you know, 3-point attempts and stuff. I could just see him finding a level of offensive utility somewhere else that is more impactful if he has a better infrastructure around him. So I think he's the easy answer. My darkest of dark horses, and it might get some laughs. What if the Spurs just fix Chandler Hutchinson's jump shot? What if he just becomes that like slashing athletic 3-and-D wing that he was supposed to be coming out of school? That'd be my like darkest of dark horse.
Someone else is trash, man. Someone else is trash.
I agree. I have nothing to say. Nah, man. You're not going. You're not going.
He said it.
I know.
Let's be real about the question, though. Like, I don't know that any of the guys, like, I think Sato will have a nice year in New Orleans. Like, I think Garrett Temple will have a nice year in New Orleans. Thad, I think, is kind of a weird answer to this question because he was so good here. It's like, if he goes and finds success elsewhere, it's like, well, he was having success here, too. I'm trying to think of the guys that were, like, really maligned.
Out on Wendell.
How do I forget about Wendell?
Let's get to it though. Let's get to it. Like, which one of these guys are gonna have the success that you're like, damn, the Bulls should have kept him? Because that's what it really is. C-Red Fred is trying to ask you which one of these guys are you gonna feel worst about when they're successful? And the answer for me is none of them.
That's what I'm dancing
because
around.
Because they won 3 some odd games with him.
Yeah.
Like nobody on this current iteration of the Bulls over the last couple of years could be like, damn, could have kept me. We could have been this, that, and the other. Like, no, you're part of the, I mean, whether it be your development stage or, you know, how you fit, you're a part of this as well. This is just my answer. I would root for all of their successes. I would feel bad if none of them went crazy because I don't think the go crazy gene is any of the guys that you may lose or have lost. Mm-hmm. So those guys are going to be themselves elsewhere now. I don't like this. To me, this ain't a like, ooh, you know, this ain't Chris Carter with the Eagles or, you know, like this ain't that. Yeah, unless like you mentioned, Hutchinson can become a 3-and-D wing and all that. I mean, but even still, you know.
Yeah, I think the Hutch thing is just relative to what he was here, which was, you know, the bars on the floor in terms of how he could be better than that. Wendell's a good point, just with the Suggs thing too. He could be interesting. I just think Lowry, even though February 2019 is obviously a long, long ways away from us, because he flashed the highest ceiling, I think if he is gone, he's not even gone yet, so it might be unfair to discuss him in this conversation, but just because he flashed the highest ceiling and he frustrated fans to such a degree, or at least the fans that I kind of keep track of, like if he goes somewhere and is an 18-8 guy and improves defensively and just and looks like what Bulls fans thought he could be, I think there'd be a lot of consternation.
I think Bulls fans wouldn't bat an eye because for a year and a half they've been watching it not be that.
I think there's something in the middle of where Jason's at and then where Rob is at, where I don't think they'll be mad at the Bulls if Lowry has success. I think they'll just be more angry at Lowry for not doing that here when everything was built kind of for him to do all of that. Like, nobody was hindering him or stopping his growth. I think I think fans would just be more angry at Lowry Markkanen for, well, how come you couldn't do that here?
Yeah, well, sometimes you just need a fresh start. But yeah, it's a tough question because I think a lot of these guys, I think, like you said, Jason, never had success enough here that you're ever going to like regret moving on in the interest of upgrading the talent on the roster. You know what I mean? Like that's just kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I don't think there was a controversial, like, I don't know about letting this guy go decision that has been made over the last year. I don't. All right, what's next?
Next question comes from Drew Stevens. With the rise in small ball lineups and DeRozan having been more of a point forward with the Spurs, what lineup combinations are you most excited to see Donovan use this season?
Oh, I was thinking about this one earlier. I got one that's way off the beaten path. I don't know if it would even ever be a thing, but you know, Pat never told us exactly how tall he is now, but he did mention potentially that he's still growing. I mean,
Pat at the five.
Yeah. Pat at the five. And then like, just think of all the guards and, you know, with DeRozan, like you have a little bit more star talent on the wing. Like what if you do Kobe or Caruso, I guess, depending on matchup, Lonzo, Zach, DeRozan, Pat. I mean, obviously there's a lot to cover on the defensive end and on the glass, but.
Wait, who'd you just name just now?
Caruso or Kobe.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, okay.
Yeah, Caruso or Kobe.
They go with the six-man lineup. They about to shut the game down.
Yeah, exactly. It just, you know, whatever the matchup is there. And then Lonzo, Zach, DeRozan, P. Will. I'm not sure it would work because it's very, very small. And there are just a lot of questions there, but. That's kind of the biggest wrench that I could see being kind of fun is P. Will at the five.
I mean, for me, it's got to be to rip your face off defensive lineup of Pat Williams, Tony Bradley, Javonte Green, Alex Caruso, and Lonzo Ball. There's three possessions that you need somebody not to score. And there it is, you know. the small ball is – I'm glad you mentioned it because watching Pat move the way he's moved – you know, he can easily be 6'10 right now, somewhere around there. And, you know, your Draymond Green, if you love him or you hate him, whatever it is, that small ball, you know, death lineup with Iguodala and Green a few years back changed a lot of things. People saw around the league how long you can go small if you have two of the greatest shooters of all time in your lineup. But also guys who can switch and do other things defensively. If Pat Williams was drafted for that, and I was thinking about it today too, like how much, because we had this conversation about how much can you put on or should you be putting on Pat Williams' play. I think you brought that up, Tony, about how, is it fair or not? And I thought, no, it's not fair, but this is what it is. the Pat Williams 4-5 situation, it seems like we're trending more towards that than we are Pat Williams messing around being a three, you know, being the guy who runs the ball up a few dribbles and finds somebody, or maybe in some pick and roll situations every once in a while. But we're trending more to him being a front court primarily, you know, guy. So with that being said, you know, if Pat Williams can get you any minutes at the five and you can cover up for some of the defensive issues that you'll have with the backcourt in Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball being on the court, maybe together, maybe having Zach in that lineup as well, or, you know, DeRozan, you know, seeing if you can get away with it for minutes at a time and not just get away with it, but change the other team's lineup, because that's all it is. You know, Rudy Gobert can stay on the floor for as long as he can stay on the floor, because teams can't change the way the Jazz play enough. But if you can force some of these teams to, all right, cool, I know you like Enes Kanter being out here. Enes Kanter, the last 2 years, bust the Bulls' ass, right? If Enes Kanter comes in this game, the next dead ball, we're going to make you take him out, because we're going to dissect that defense. Like,
and pull him out of the paint, too. If Pat even steadies as a shooter at all, and it looks like his outside shot from a limited summer league sample has improved a little bit, and they've worked on his mechanics a little bit. Like that just would be such a dynamic offensive threat. And honestly, again, who knows if it would work, but that kind of seems like the theme of this Bulls team, right? It's like,
who knows
what the feeling of this team is. Like, we don't know where this is going, but like,
that's the slogan. That's the slogan. Rob just came up with the slogan for this year's Bulls team. Who knows if it'll work? The young goat at it again, killing it.
Pretty much. All right, let's hit the next one. Quickly, I would just say on the lineup thing. The other thing will be interesting with Billy. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot, and a lot of people have the three-guard lineup thing. They have so many good guards now between Caruso, Kobe, Lonzo, Zach. It'll be interesting to see which three of those guys are like best playing together. There's a lot of shooting, and with Caruso and Lonzo, you can mix stuff up defensively. So I think that's a good answer too. It's just like with Vooch and Pat, which three guards are the best, you know, for limited.
Before we get to the next question, can I submit a question? You just mentioned Kobe, right?
Yeah.
More pressure or less pressure on Kobe going into this season with the injury and the offseason that the Bulls have had in terms of what they did to that backcourt? You think this is going to take some of that, you know, we need you to be a point guard stuff off of him, maybe clear his mind? Or is Kobe going to have to look around and say, all right, you got a dude you're paying 9-2, you got a dude you're paying 22, you got a dude who you're going to have to max out if he stays here, you got a dude who's getting 80 over the next 3 years. At age 34, he's going to be making 30-some-odd million. Like, what does it do to Kobe White's atmosphere this offseason with his injury and also the offseason the Bulls have had?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I guess it would depend on where that pressure is coming from. You know what I mean? Like internally, maybe. I'm not trying to speak for Kobe by any means, but maybe there would be pressure from within, from himself, because we know for a fact that his aspiration is to be a starting point guard in the NBA, and now that starting spot in the backcourt isn't there anymore. So maybe there would be a little bit of internal pressure from that. But I think just in terms of his role, like, he's going to be put in a bunch of positions to succeed and play off guys and do all of the things that he's best at. It just depends on what, you know, size that role is going to be. But, you know, I think maybe you could say there would be a little bit of pressure to come back and prove yourself and reassert yourself when he does get back from the injury, if he misses part of the season. But, you know, ultimately, I think even if it's in reserve role, I think the combinations that you could play with this team and the amount of facilitating that you have with DeRozan and Vooch, and guys that are going to attract a lot of offensive attention with them and Zach and Lonzo. I think ultimately Kobe will be put in positions where maybe on the court there's a little bit less pressure on him. It's just a matter of, you know, how much is he going to want to push the envelope for himself and, you know, reach those aspirations that he has. So I guess we'll see there. That's an interesting dynamic that I hadn't. It's hard to consider all this stuff, right? Because the roster has been so overhauled, and I think we're kind of operating under the assumption that it's going to be a couple games before Kobe gets in the mix here, but that'll be interesting to watch.
Man, Kobe needs to do what got him here in the league. He needs to shoot. Like, I don't think he needs to worry about playmaking. Like, he just saw, they will ship you out of here, you know, if you're not being productive. So I think in order for him to kind of stay, he's got to go score. That's my big thing, man. Just revert back to what you were and just shoot.
Yeah. 3 years ago when you were in high school.
Yeah.
just get back to your old self when you were at prom.
Yeah. And I think the fact that him and Zach and Lowry is obviously pending. I think the fact that him and Zach are the only two guys still here from the start of the 2019-20 season. I would bet that Billy, and we actually know this for a fact about Billy, but I would bet that Billy and management like value his mentality and his resilience and things like that. But like you said, Tony, yeah, it's just going to be a matter of production, which again, I think he can be in the spots, positions he's going to be put in.
All right. Our next question comes from Bleacher Nation Bulls. Removing Zach, if you had to pick who would be the most likely to earn an all-star nod next? DeRozan for a fifth time, Lonzo for his first, Vooch for his third. I can see a case made for/against all, considering the new role they will play and the talent now around them.
I can consider a case for all because the East still has the Bucks and the Nets and the 76ers and the Celtics. Yeah. Sometimes we got to zoom out and look at, especially when it comes to that kind of stuff, who you're competing against. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine, would either one of you guys be surprised if Zach didn't score 27 points a game this year?
No.
Okay. So, Zach went crazy and was efficient in doing it last year and had to, there had to be a push, right?
Mm-hmm. There were guys that he made it over, that he deserved to make it over, but guys like Jimmy Butler who, weren't there because of injury stuff and whatever, you know what I mean? It changed. The All-Star thing is interesting because it changes.
Harden.
It's more variable. Harden, exactly. I think the answer to that, though, is pretty clearly Vooch, just because as a center, that position is just less deep than the wing and guard spots. But
Joel's got the center spot locked if he's healthy, right?
No doubt.
Cleveland just gave a dude $100 million. So that's
it's tough.
I'm not saying Jared Allen's better than Vucevic. I just wanted to throw out there that Jared Allen got a shout out to Jared Allen, by the way. I'm not one of these guys who can you believe it? Duncan Robinson, Jared Allen, hey, God bless America, right? you know what I'm saying? It's 100 out there. I was looking at some of these deals. You just mentioned Jimmy Butler. Do you know how much money Jimmy Butler's going to be making at the end of this deal and the age that he and that's
– I haven't looked at the breakdown yet, no.
That's the cost of doing business. So
I 50 or something like that?
$51 million. And I love it. You know why I love it? Because we do this doomsday thing oh, my God, what's going to happen? And all that's going to happen is – John Wall thing. We got to trade you because this ain't working. You know what I mean? So
and that's a lesson that I've really learned the last 2 years.
You got to cut that out.
NBA coverage, and there's no untradeable. There's no such thing as an untradeable contract.
Not a soul.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal got traded twice.
So let me say this on the Vooch thing though. In the East, I'm looking at the standings right now in terms of the top centers in the conference. Obviously you have Embiid, Bam Adebayo in Miami. But I think Vooch is pretty comfortably the second or third best center in the conference. So I could see it depending on where obviously the win-loss record is and depending on his production. Because I think if these guys, if their counting stats take a dip, I'm not too worried about that because obviously people are going to have to fit into a little bit different roles than they have at other points in their career. But I'm not saying I would bet on Vooch to be an all-star, but certainly over DeRozan and Lonzo, I think he's far more likely.
If you add Zach into the conversation, is Zach an all-star next year?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It wouldn't really surprise me one way or the other.
No Trae Young last year, no Harden last year.
I forgot about Trae, too. Yeah. The guard depth.
It's stacked.
There's never been this guard depth in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Never. it's to speak to – As Rob did a terrific job of last year detailing the entire year, it speaks to the value of Zach and how what he did last year mm-hmm. and the amount of money he's being paid. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You're talking about a guy who is in the top.
Look at Terry Rozier today.
Well,
$497. I'm just saying that's the market. Though. You could agree or disagree, but that's the market.
Hey, kids, shoot 3-pointers. Hey, remember we used to be tie one arm behind that kid's back and make him pitch left-handed. Mm-hmm. Hey, kids, stop taking your ass in the paint. Shoot 3-point. Terry Rozier parlayed being fit top five in the NBA in made three-pointers to $100 million contract. Because he looked at Charlotte in the face and was like, hey, y'all. People don't just come here. I know LaMelo got the GQ shine, and LaMelo's going to leave at some point, too. People don't just come here. So small market prices, baby. The price went up.
And there's another point. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year for any of these three guys, but think about the young guards that are about to come up in the East, too. Like young, LaMelo, Jalen Suggs, and Cade Cunningham. Like, the guard depth in this conference is about to be
you even crazy. Look at you. You already got him in the All-Star game. They ain't tied up near one, near lace in the professional.
I said it's not going to happen this year, but in the years to come. Like,
who's going to be better, Jalen or Cade?
Sharif Cooper.
Nah, knock it.
I didn't see it. Was he on the summer league, the all summer league teams that were actually getting pressed about in my mentions?
Sharif is getting mighty famous mighty quickly.
In a city
that loves when you get mighty famous mighty quickly.
I'm no draft expert, Jason, to answer your question quickly, and then let's go to the next one. But I'd still go Cade, you know.
Yeah?
I'd still go Cade. I mean, I'm just going to ride with the consensus as a guy who has watched, compared to others, a pretty limited amount.
Bro, Cade can hoop, man. Like,
yeah. No, I was just asking a question.
If you look on social media and look at some people, they're like, you know, like, we're not really feeling Cade, you know.
Who, though? Are those people?
He's going to be an all right player, you
who
know.
Who are those people, though, Tone? Like,
all right, let's go on to the next one. Now we're talking about if Cade
can. Yeah, we're having too fun of a conversation. Let's get to the Bulls, backup small forward. Come on, Tony.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The next question comes from Kevin Bush. Do you think any of these new free agents take too much from Zach's play and potentially cause him to look elsewhere next season? Will there be ego-related locker room issues, maybe no more heated Lowry discussions, LOL? You guys be upset at my man, KCJ Hoop.
Oh, I think that last part was directed at us.
Yeah.
No, it was directed to the last pod. When KC didn't want to talk Lowry marketing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
And then the conversation afterwards.
Right. KC bounced on us. It's like, to hell with this. I mean, that's a DeMar DeRozan question, you know, thinly veiled as like, you know, other stuff. Whatever's going to happen with this team, like, who knows? This team can mess around and be the fifth seed in the East, or this team can mess around and barely make the play-in game, right? There's the widest variance of results that we've seen across the board. That's the only thing that people agree on with this team. Is that it could be boom or it could be, you know, funny looking in the light.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on health. And I do think that DeMar DeRozan, like, for all the – I understand the head scratching. So I understand the head scratching about the deal, but for the way it fits and for the insurance that it may provide you if this season doesn't go the way you'd like it to go, whether it be the negotiations or the play-in, things can get nasty if people don't win. This team has to win some games this year. And you got to get better. You got to hit bet like putting better basketball players in that locker room was the goal. They did that. Now it's up to Billy Donovan and this group to figure out how to gel. So, yeah it could happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Jason, more than like egos clashing, causing Zach to look elsewhere, because he is going to hit unrestricted free agency here. That's the bet the Bulls made when they decided to prioritize improving the roster, which could very well prove the right strategy. I wouldn't be worried right now about Zach LaVine's long-term future if I was the Bulls or a Bulls fan. But I think the thing, more so than egos, that could potentially drive him to looking elsewhere is if the pieces don't work, or if for some reason the team underperforms this year, and then it's like, all right, what's important to all these guys is winning. So that's what I would be concerned about. Ego-wise, I go to what DeRozan said in his intro presser about everyone having chips on their shoulders. A lot of these guys not having a history of winning or making it far into the postseason in their NBA careers. So I don't think there's going to be much an issue of guys putting those things aside. And, you know, add in that a lot of these guys are, you know, capable and willing playmakers, and the offensive pieces project to fit pretty well together. So egos is not necessarily what I'm worried about. I'd be more worried about, you know, if the team underperforms, then it's like, oh man, we're kind of in this situation where we're a little stuck asset wise, and we got to now, you know, make a brand new pitch to Zach about staying, and that this is going to be the best place for him to win if it doesn't work out. But
they could be out in 3 years out of all the contracts. That's what everybody keeps telling me.
Well, I mean, but we just said it, right? There's no untradeable contract. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying like the franchise is going to be hamstrung forever, but it's like, you know, you've made this Hail Mary attempt to really make a jump next year and sell Zach in the long-term future of the franchise. If the big jump doesn't happen, then it's like, all right, what's the pitch now? You know, that's what I would be worried about more than like guys not getting along or guys not getting, you know, the ball not being able to be, you know, there not being enough balls for everybody. I think all that stuff will work itself out ego-wise.
All right, our next question from Joe Peppers. Who out of these five teams, who has the best starting lineup? Miami, Boston, New York, Chicago, Charlotte. So if you need a reminder, just let me know. I can let you guys know who's.
I have the tweet right here. I'm gonna look at how he has it laid out.
Miami, Boston, Chicago, Charlotte, and New York.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna put Charlotte at the end of that.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm going to put New York right in front of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Chicago ahead of Boston and behind Miami, maybe. But you know what? I don't like. I'm not as in love with what Miami did as everybody else is.
You have been saying that like consistently.
I'm not. Miami Heat.
Is it just the lack of shooting?
The lack of shooting, and like they really need. Like the Tyler Hero thing is important. Like, because they don't, you know, Eric Spoelstra's bench is never. He's never been a guy that plays 9-10 dudes anyway, and he plays guys real minutes. They go hard down there. The Heat culture and all that, but I think the league is kind of figuring a lot of things out about them. Now, adding Kyle Lowry, you get that leadership. But, like, for what it's worth, as a fit on that team, do you think that Kyle Lowry is going to dramatically improve them over what Goran Dragic gave them?
I think so, for this year.
Defensively?
Yeah. Defensively, yeah. Mm. I think so. And let's be real. I mean, Dragic, as great as he is, was showing signs of – wear and tear last season.
Sure. I don't think it's a dramatic improvement for the money that you are paying.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I think it's a little wild how differently the DeRozan and Lowry contracts are being talked about, despite them basically being the same money and Lowry being older. But that's also a product of the Heat being closer to title contention. So it's a little bit more, you know, palatable to people to make a move like that. I'd have basically the same as you, Jason. I'd flip Boston and Chicago, but okay. I'd basically have the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they got the best player in the group, you know, and they re-signed Marcus. So, and they got rid of the Kimba situation. It's funny because they're now going to spend like they're going to reimagine this team, the Boston Celtics, around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown again. Like they're going to get another chance. You don't really get a chance to do this a couple of times to like reimagine a squad around two people like that. This will be like their second or maybe their third time now trying to fit because of the Kyrie Irving thing and now Kemba Walker. I mean, yeah, this is going to be interesting because you know, like there's only so many jobs you can get kicked up now before. I know Danny Ainge retired, but Brad Stevens now is making jokes about they've obviously got a better coach and all that. Like, you know, you got to, you know, Jason Tatum is cool and all, but, you know, at some point he's going to look around too. Like Jaylen Brown is always looking around. So I just that Boston thing is intriguing. I don't know how a team's window opens and closes without it opening. You know, like they got very, very close to it being like party time, and then the Kyrie thing sunk them. So I still think that they're trying to figure it out. But yeah, Boston and Chicago are flippable. Obviously, you know, if you want to throw Miami at the top, I won't be mad at you. I'm not as enamored with the Heat as everybody else is this upcoming season.
Yeah, I like you said, Harrow is the swing piece because he's looked like a stud and he's looked like a dud in his first two seasons at various times. So wherever he lands in the middle of those two outcomes is going to say a lot. But I give them the benefit of the doubt. I give them the benefit of the doubt to put them up top.
All right, next question comes from Patrick Williams Fan Club. Will there be a definitive second option behind LaVine, or will it kind of be a 2A, 2B, 2C with DeMar, Lonzo, and Vooch?
Well, you can remove Lonzo out of there.
Just scoring-wise? I think Zach will obviously be the number one scoring option on the team. I would be shocked if he didn't lead the team in scoring again. He's just like a ridiculously complete offensive player. And then I would say like DeRozan and Vooch probably have a 2A, 2B situation behind him. Just because DeRozan's going to have the ball in his hands a ton facilitating. And then Vooch, there are so many different ways you could play through him. In the post, pick and roll, pop. I think he's going to be, you know, 20 to 22 points a game too. So, I'd probably put those three, maybe Zach in a tier of his own, and then Vooch and DeRozan like a half tier below him. And then I think Lonzo's going to be a big part of things, but he's probably more in like that 13 to 15 point a game bracket, right?
Yeah.
Those guys are like 20 point a game scorers. So that's probably how I see it.
Yeah, same.
All right, the next question comes from Tom Beecher. Everyone keeps addressing the concerns with the Bulls' defense next year. Is there anyone else out in the market that Chicago can get to improve front court and wing defense?
That's tough, man. The thing is, it's one thing to look at the guys that are out there. It's another, and it's also you got to look at the Bulls' available resources. Like they're basically down to, you know, being able to offer guys the minimum. I've been saying a little bit recently that I think Paul Millsap would be a pretty good fit, but I don't think he transforms them by any means. I think he's just like a good stabilizing vet to have as insurance. But I think he'd help. A guy like James Ennis on the wing, maybe. There's like a couple guys. Josh Hart before he re-upped with the Pelicans, like maybe he could have helped on the perimeter. That doesn't really answer the front court part of the question, but I don't think there's anybody transformative out there, but you got to hope that they hit on a minimum guy that makes more of an impact than you think he's going to coming in.
Yeah. This is that point of the offseason. It's kind of like the Bears where you're looking around like, all right, who are the really good tackles out
there?
We need
a starting left tackle.
Right. Who are the guys that will protect the blind side of not only my $10 million investment, but my first rounder and cornerstone of the franchise to be? Who are those guys? Those dudes have already been taken. They're occupied at the moment. So this is what it's going to be. You're going to find out how good a defense coach Billy Donovan and his assistants are. And also, you're going to find out who want to play defense. Like, you can put a scheme together all you want. Who wants to play defense? Like, who's going to take that cool off long enough in a role where it's like, you know, with this kind of roster, I think, too, you can't, like – Pat Williams and Lonzo and Alex being the guys who can defend is not going to be enough. You're going to have guys who have never really turned it up like that to turn it up like that to see a real market improvement. And as Casey pointed out last pod, you know, I think he did a radio hit. I think I heard him say this. They were a better defense than they were offense by the end of the season last year.
They were. So I think you just have to hope that, you know, they can scheme. You know, Vooch, you know, is obviously limited defensively, but if you put him in the right positions, it is a big body and can be solid enough positionally. You have to hope they can scheme that, you know, get creative there. You got to hope that obviously Pat makes the big jump. Lonzo and Caruso are big upgrades on the perimeter. And let's be real, like, you also got to hope that what we saw from Zach in the Olympics, he's pretty good defensively in the Olympics on the ball. You got to hope that that translates a little bit to And to me, the offense can be so good that I need them to get to, like, you know, league average defensively, maybe a little bit under average. And I think they can stay afloat and get into the middle of the conference. But we gotta wait till the game starts to see how tall of a task that's going to be. But yeah, I mean, a defensive minded four is the most important thing on my agenda if I'm the Bulls, filling out the rest of the roster. And then you hope, like, you know, another guy like Troy Brown Jr. on the wing, like if he could be solid for 20 minutes a game or something like you know, as a reserve, that would all help too. But we just got to see.
Come on down.
That's actually not a bad idea.
You can, you defend, you never need the ball, and you can barrel roll into LeBron's knees at any point in time in the season. No, I'm the only one that saw that. I'm the only one that saw that Solomon Hill stopped the Lakers.
I think LeBron saw it.
Yeah. As soon as they got back to the locker, it was like, hey, man, you got to go, bro. He already knew. He was folding this shit up. Like, I know.
Solomon Hill.
The league escorts him out. Like, come on, bro.
Right. The producer of Space Jam was like, hey, man, I know this ain't my business, but he gotta go. You ever look at your man at a party like that you brought him to and he's acting real wild? And he's like, hey, if y'all gotta kick him out. I understand. Right, Solomon Hill was like, yo, I get it. I got a little wild. I just happened to do a somersault into the face of sports' knees. You know what I'm saying? You got to control where you're falling, baby. All right, go ahead. My bad.
Solomon Hill under contract for next season.
Damn. Yeah,
quick fact check.
See? This is why, Rob. Young goat. All right, what's next?
All right, next question comes from Pharaoh. He's essentially asking thumbs up or thumbs down on Kevin Love assuming Cavs buyout completed and a veteran load management role off the bench.
Are you trying to give up 150 points a game?
Yeah. I don't love it, especially because I just said, you know, defensive minded four is what I'm looking for a little bit more than the floor spacing and the passing. I think there's enough playmaking, and I mean, I guess you can never have enough shooting, but I'm just a little, you know, my eyebrows are raised at the Kevin Love thing, especially after the Olympics and how that all went. I think if he does get bought out, he ends up in like with a true
Los Angeles
ending situation. Yeah.
He ends up in the Lakers.
And if I'm the Bulls, I'm not too mad at that.
No,
I don't necessarily see him as a fit.
No. Hell no.
All right. I guess that's
if he becomes a Bull, I will never cop to have said this.
This one's from Jay. Who takes the last shot? Who's the primary facilitator on the team? Also, best case / worst case scenario for this team in the East?
I mean, if Zach LaVine is going to be the max player, then he's got to take the shots. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Or he's got to be the hands that pass the ball to the shot that is being taken. Mm-hmm. It's time.
You know what's interesting? DeMar DeRozan, and we talked about this statistical category a lot last year, clutch time, games within a five-point margin with 5 minutes or less to play because the Bulls were so bad in those games last year. DeMar DeRozan was like the third or fourth leading scorer just in terms of total points in those games in the league last year. So like he's the closer. Like that's something that you bring him in to help you with. So I'm curious to see how that works out. I think if you can thread the needle right and you mix between Zach and DeMar, you could have a pretty potent and dangerous situation where you really don't know who's going to hurt you.
Where has that ever occurred though? Where you didn't know who the closer was going to be? On a night in, like, not just on a one-off, like I said, bounce pass to somebody and all of a sudden that, like, and even a situation, like, we just saw a team win a championship. Let's face it, Giannis Antetokounmpo, his Shaq comp, knew that Chris Middleton had to be his Kobe, had to be his Kyrie. You know, like, you gotta hit these shots down the stretch because, one, I'm not comfortable there, and two, the defense is gearing up to stop me in a certain way. I don't know how that works because I haven't seen it work to a high level before.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess we'll just have to see.
Is Zach
how it works?
Is Zach?
Yeah.
Is Zach LaVine, man? Like Zach LaVine, these last like he's endured the losing here. Been a part of the losing, but he's endured it too. Like Jamar has dropped into this situation. Like, yo, let's hoop. But you know, if you need me, and I mean, he's mm-hmm. you know he's an accomplished player, so he's not out here just riding sidecar. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wanted to frame it that way, but yeah, man. Unless Zach is like off crazy, or if he's hurt, or if he's out, or whatever the case may be, in those situations, I want to. If a team is getting ready to pay a dude this much money, or that's on the horizon for him, which I think it may be, whether it's here or anywhere else, yeah, he been taking them when they was bad. All of a sudden, they're gonna get the shine, and he's not gonna take those shots. I don't think Zach built like that, and not in a bad way, like in a good way.
No,
like I don't think Zach's gonna back down from that calling. I think he's waiting for it.
Yeah, and he's the most lethal scorer on the team from every level in every context. So yeah, if you had to pick one, I would say the same. And let's be real, like you can nitpick any number that you want from these, you know, clutch time scenarios or whatever. Like Zach has the penchant for those moments and has showed it in a couple notable ways over the last few years for the Bulls. So like you said, he's built like that. So you know, it's not going to be a surprise if he does step up a little bit more, especially with more talent around him. So yeah, what were the other ones? Best playmaker or
who's going to be your primary facilitator and best or worst case scenario for them in the East?
Facilitator, half court. I think it's DeMar. This has been said before, but I think it's right that he'll functionally be, you know, kind of the half court point guard of the team. He averaged 7 assists a game last year. The similar production wouldn't surprise me for this year's Bulls. Although the beauty I would say is that when he sits, like, or even if you just want to mix things up, like you could play through Vooch. He's obviously a really capable facilitator. Lonzo can get reps facilitating. Like even Zach, like he was at 5 assists a game last year and got much, much better at passing out of doubles. Like there really is just a ton of offensive talent playmaking on this team, but I think DeMar is the most so. And then best case, worst case, I think best case is like the 4 seed, right? Host a first round playoff series. Worst case, I mean, missing the play-in, man. Like,
yeah. Worst case is 11 and anything below.
Yeah, really. I don't see that as likely by any means. But until we see this thing, I mean, it has to be talked about as the very, very worst end of the spectrum.
All right, there it is. Bulls mailbag, accomplished, dominated.
Wait, Jason. We'll get you out of here in time. But I had one that I wanted to shoot by Tony because he's been asking us the questions. I can't find it. Okay. I wanted to give this guy credit, but I remember the question. I wish I could give this person credit, but I can't find it now. Tony, if Michael Redd was on this Bulls team,
All right. I'll see you guys later. You guys can finish this one up without me. I love y'all.
What number option would Michael Redd be on this
Bulls team? All right. See y'all later. Bye.
You don't got to answer that, but all right. I guess I'm wrapping up the pod then.
Yep.
This has been the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I have been Rob Schaefer with Tony Gill and Jason Goff, who had to run anyway, but certainly the way that we exited that pod contributed to his abrupt exit. we will catch you guys next week. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning.